Introduce the next speaker, who is Dr. Matt Daly. He is an associate professor of pediatrics at the University of Colorado Health Sciences University. And Matt has been very involved in vaccine research, and I look forward to hearing what he has to say about HPV vaccine. Matt?
Thanks very much, and thanks for the opportunity to talk today. So today I'm going to present on HPV vaccination practices, a national survey of physicians 18 months post-licensure. No disclosures to make other than that if we have time, we'll talk a little bit about HPV vaccination over age 26 years of age. So I'm going to skip over most of the background, in part because Dr. Rand has already covered much of it, but I want to show you when this survey occurred in relationship to when various decisions were made about HPV vaccine. HPV vaccine was licensed in June of 2006, and soon thereafter, the ACIP voted to recommend HPV vaccine. In March of 2007, recommendations were published in the MMWR, and then the survey that I'm going to present today occurred January through March of 2008. So the objectives of this investigation were to assess in a nationally representative sample of family medicine physicians and pediatricians knowledge, attitudes, and current practices regarding HPV vaccination, perceived barriers to HPV vaccination, and factors associated with strongly recommending HPV vaccine to 11 to 12-year-old female patients. The methods were as follows. This was conducted in an already existing Sentinel physician network. To develop this network, physicians were recruited from random samples of the American Academy of Pediatrics and American Academy of Family Physicians. And quota sampling was done to ensure that the networks were similar to the overall AAP and AAFP memberships. We had conducted prior work in which network participants were compared to physicians randomly sampled from the AMA master file. And network participants were, in fact, found to be similar to AMA random sample with respect to demographic characteristics, practice attributes, and a range of vaccine-related attitudes. With respect to survey design and administration, the survey was pilot tested in an advisory committee of family medicine and pediatric physicians from across the country. The survey was administered by internet and standard mail, and again, I mentioned the survey period. Moving on to results, survey response rate was 80% overall, and respondents were not significantly different from non-respondents on a variety of characteristics. The one exception was that for family medicine physicians, respondents were less likely from the South and more likely from the West. Moving on to respondents' knowledge about HPV, these are a series of true-false questions, and then the percentages represent the percent who answered that question correctly. So in general, knowledge about HPV was really pretty good. An exception was that roughly 50%, so 58% of family medicine physicians, 43% of pediatricians, knew that this statement was false. Genital warts are caused by the same HPV types as cervical cancer. Similar format here, true-false questions, but this is regarding knowledge about HPV vaccination. So these are all essentially false contraindications to vaccination. And again, knowledge about HPV vaccination was generally pretty good, although 69% of family medicine physicians and 86% of pediatricians knew that this statement was false. Pregnancy testing should be performed prior to giving HPV vaccine. Moving on to physician attitudes about HPV vaccination. This is a little different format. It's somewhat in strongly agree and then percentages. 54% of family medicine physicians and 42% of pediatricians agreed with the statement that it's necessary to discuss sexuality prior to recommending HPV vaccine. 49% of family medicine physicians, 42% of pediatricians thought that parents were concerned that vaccination against a sexually transmitted infection may encourage early or riskier sexual behavior, but the physicians themselves were much less likely to feel like they were concerned that this would occur. Interesting to think about this in the context of Dr. Rand's previous presentation. With respect to overall HPV vaccination practices, 88% of family medicine physicians and 98% of pediatricians at the time of the survey were already administering HPV vaccine to female patients in their practice. However, the strength of that recommendation varied by age. In this graph, you can see green is strongly recommend, and this red color is recommend but not strongly, and then age groups are on the bottom. 49% of family medicine physicians strongly recommended HPV vaccine at 11 to 12 years of age, compared to 82% who strongly recommended the vaccine at 13 to 15 years of age, and 87% who strongly recommended the vaccine at 16 to 18 years of age. The other option was do not recommend. Similar patterns were seen within pediatricians, where 56% strongly recommended the vaccine at 11 to 12 years of age versus 89% who strongly recommended the vaccine at 13 to 15 years of age. Physicians were also asked a little bit about HPV vaccine safety and concerns about that. And interestingly, 33% of pediatricians were concerned that syncope was more likely after HPV than other vaccines. There was less concern expressed about Guillain-Barré syndrome following HPV vaccination. They were also asked about reasons for refusal and deferral, and these were explicitly defined in the survey. Refusal was defined as a parent or a patient who refused vaccine without consideration of vaccination later, and deferral was defined as postponing vaccination, but they would consider vaccination at a later date. So the physicians reported that there was more parent and patient deferral than refusal of HPV vaccine among both specialties. There was more reported refusal at 11 to 12 years of age than 13 to 15 years of age. And 29% of family medicine physicians, 18% of pediatricians reported that at least a quarter of the parents of 11 to 12-year-olds had refused HPV vaccine when it had been offered in the practice. Here are a physician report of the most common reasons for vaccine refusal and deferral. The most common being that the parent felt that the vaccine was too new and hadn't been around long enough. Interesting, again, to interpret these in the context of the information that Dr. Rand just presented. Other common reasons for parent refusal: adolescent was too young, adolescent not sexually active yet. But interestingly, the second most common reason reported in family medicine physicians, as you can see, green is pediatricians and this red is family medicine physicians. The second most common reason reported in family medicine physicians was insurance not covering the vaccine and the parent couldn't afford it. Similar format here, this is factors reported to be definitely or somewhat a barrier to HPV vaccination. And the top three barriers reported by both specialties were all financial. Vaccine, again, this is barriers to HPV vaccination. Vaccine not being covered by some insurers, lack of adequate reimbursement, and the upfront cost to purchase vaccines. Parent opposition was more of a moderate barrier to HPV vaccination, and then provider concerns about HPV vaccine safety was not a prominent barrier. So these are the results of our multivariate analyses, and it's important to point out that these are factors associated with not strongly recommending HPV vaccine to 11 to 12-year-old female patients. So three factors had an increased odds of not strongly recommending at this age group: considering it necessary to discuss sexuality prior to recommending HPV vaccine, reporting that the parents of younger children were more likely to refuse than the parents of older children, and believing that the time it takes to discuss HPV vaccination was definitely or somewhat a barrier to vaccination. So this survey has a number of limitations it's important to consider. Respondents may have differed from non-respondents, however, a high survey response rate was obtained. Sentinel physicians may differ from physicians overall, although our prior work suggests not. It's also important to keep in mind that survey results represent reported practice and actual practice was not observed. It's also important to remember that these results may not be generalizable to all settings. However, we do have a number of findings that I'd like to summarize here. With respect to knowledge, most family medicine and pediatric physicians were aware of several key aspects of HPV epidemiology. However, there were some knowledge gaps regarding HPV vaccination, particularly regarding false contraindications to vaccination. With respect to vaccination practices overall, there was a high adoption rate overall, with 88% of family medicine physicians, 98% of pediatricians administering HPV vaccine in their practice at the time of the survey. And more physicians were strongly recommending HPV vaccine to patients 13 years and older compared to patients 11 to 12 years of age. Several other findings. With respect to parent refusal, prominent reasons for refusal were that the vaccine was too new, that the adolescent was too young, or that insurance didn't cover vaccination. Perceived barriers to HPV vaccination included significant financial barriers. Those were the top three barriers for both specialties. And parent opposition to vaccination was more of a moderate barrier. And with respect to vaccine safety, providers reported that parent vaccine refusals were not explicitly safety related, but when somebody says the vaccine is too new, this also could perhaps represent parent safety concerns. And there was moderate provider concern about syncope, especially among the pediatricians. So these findings have a number of implications. To touch on a few of the financial implications, as I mentioned, there's a number of financial barriers that were noted in this survey. Does this reflect that there are more underinsured patients presenting to these physicians without insurance coverage for HPV vaccination? And if so, what are the consequences of this? Are these patients being referred to public health clinics? And what are the financial implications and the logistical implications to public health clinics if this is in fact the case? It's important to note that the financial concerns seemed more prevalent in family medicine. And how much do these financial considerations factor in when family medicine physicians decide not to offer HPV vaccine at all? I think that's an important question. And so further studies of vaccine cost and reimbursement issues are needed in family medicine. In fact, they're needed in both specialties, but I'm highlighting particular concerns for family medicine. And then I feel like the implications also have, these findings have some important implications with respect to missed vaccination opportunities. There's a number of things that we found from this investigation that highlight the fact that there really may be some missed vaccination opportunities. Physicians are not strongly recommending the vaccine at 11 to 12. Some physicians are not. Parents may be deferring vaccination at 11 to 12. And then there's some knowledge gaps with some false contraindications. These all will lead to missed vaccination opportunities. And then the important next question to ask is, are these missed opportunities going to stay missed? Meaning, if somebody comes in at 11 to 12 years of age, is not vaccinated, are they going to come back at 13, 14, and 15 and be vaccinated appropriately and complete the series, and significantly complete the series as timely as possible? So will these missed opportunities stay missed? I would argue that we're going to need some interventions to reduce missed opportunities given the findings from this study. So I'd like to thank all my collaborators, both at the University of Colorado and at the CDC, and thanks for the opportunity to speak today.